On the 6th of February, 1952, King George VI sadly passed away at the Sandringham Estate. A young Princess Elizabeth became Queen. Queen Elizabeth II, the longest reigning monarch in British history. Her commitment, devotion, love, and loyalty was and is an inspiration to all, and is a reflection on her 70 years of dedication to public service. I now introduce my interview with 93-year-old Holocaust survivor and ex-British soldier, George Volcombe, BEM, who gives his reflections on the Queen. So, thank you, George, for joining me today. How are you?
Fine, yes, all is well, yes.
Good, I'm glad.
I'm looking forward to the chat.
So am I, thank you very much. So when you came over to England, it got to the year 1953 and you joined the 4th, 7th Royal Dragoon Guards for 2 years of national service. And your regiment was tasked with ensuring the Queen's coronation ran smoothly by lining the route of the coronation. Could you talk us through that historic day and how you felt carrying out such an important role?
I was in actually Royal Signals. We were attached to the 47th Royal Dragoon. Okay. And I was one of the soldiers lining the mall while the procession passed. I wasn't one of those soldiers who had to stand in front holding up a rifle and they're all very smart. I was actually acting as auxiliary police. So our job was more to control the crowds. And of course it was very, very crowded. So in fact, we were supposed to face away from the procession towards the crowd. And it was very crowded, but there was no problem at all. And the reason I was in the army was I was doing my 2 years national service, mm-hmm. which was from 1952 to 1954. And I was in the Royal Signals, and my unit was attached to the 4th, 7th Royal Dragoon Guards. And it was quite an occasion, because we prepared for it a long way ahead. We were issued with special uniforms. I've got a photograph of me in that special blues uniform, which that uniform we only wore for one day. Mm-hmm. Then we had to hand it in again instead of our normal khaki uniform. And on the day itself of the coronation, we were in St. James Park, next to the Mall. And at about 4 o'clock in the morning, we were marched out to the Mall to take up our positions. It may have been a bit later, but we were ready at 4 o'clock anyway. And then we just waited. And also the main job was facing away from the Mall,
yeah,
the crowds, which was all fine. The only part which was difficult was after coronation had happened and the Queen had been in her state carriage and gone towards the palace. The crowd, of course, left the Mall, and they all wanted to go up to the palace.
I bet.
Enormous crowds. And that could have been quite dangerous if you all rushed at the same time. So we were told at that moment, we have to rush away and sort of link, I don't know if you can see it, you know.
To link arms
to stop the crowd getting too, you know, being dangerous. And that was very difficult. There was enormous pressure pressing against us. But, you know, we held. And then eventually, after it was all over, we were told, right, break, and we could release. And then the crowds could surge up to the gates of the palace, you know, where. Mm-hmm. But by that time, there was no problem anymore because obviously the gates were closed and they could just stand outside and cheer. And we could just go and go home.
Nice. That's good. Yeah. Thank you. That's amazing. That's such an amazing story to tell. Yeah. And what did Queen Elizabeth II mean to you?
Well, I mean, she was... You know, I was a British subject and I was very proud because obviously I'd come to England as a refugee.
Yes.
And so the Queen was somebody we respected a lot. But then in 1947, we actually became British citizens. If we wouldn't have done, I wouldn't have been called up. But we were, I became British. So in 1952, I had to join up for my national service, February 52 to February 54. And one of the two main things which I remember from that two-year period was the coronation.
Mm-hmm. I bet, yeah. Yeah.
The other event was very, very different because there was a flooding along the Thames coast, by the coast, and Canby Island, very heavy flooding. And the army was called in to help rescue people. And I was among those involved in that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So the Queen worked a lot and valued Holocaust remembrance. How important do you think that is that she did that?
Well, it was, in fact, the Holocaust Education Trust made a point of, you know, showing its loyalty to the Queen. The Queen knew we existed. And send messages as well. Yeah. Well, to the Jewish community as a whole, and also direct the state GT. And so did Prince Philip.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because they both visited Bergen-Belsen together.
Yes,
I don't know if you saw that. Yeah.
Yes.
And also, in general, why is it important that public figures / world leaders champion Holocaust remembrance?
Well, unless they did, it would eventually be forgotten. Yeah. And the Holocaust, not only can it never be forgiven, but it also mustn't be forgotten. And the fact that world leaders do remember it. There's Holocaust Remembrance Day in January, which is worldwide, and separately the Jewish community itself commemorates it as a religious day, Yom HaShoah, Day of the Holocaust. And most of us take an active part in services and so on.
Yes. And yeah, I agree with you.
My family, we lost a lot of our family in the Holocaust. In fact, when we left Vienna, of the people we left behind in Vienna, and when the war broke out, one cousin, distant cousin, survived. Otherwise, we never saw anybody again.
It's very, very sad, and it's really important that you continue to tell that story so the next generations can remember this.
Well, I've been telling it in schools, for about well over 20 years now.
Wow, 20 years. It's really important as well, and I think a lot of people respect that as well. I certainly do, and a lot of my ambassador friends as well, because we want to hear from you so we can pass on the message.
Yes. I mean, when I went to schools, the kids all seemed to be very interested, and that was, treated very nicely in the schools.
It's good.
Now, well, I'm 93 now. Things are rather more difficult, but I have given one or two talks on Zoom.
As long as you give them, yeah. So you received your British Empire Medal. He was honoured by the Queen, in the Queen's Birthday Honours List, for services to Holocaust education. This was in 2019. How did you feel?
I'm very proud when I receive a letter, and the Holocaust education and remembrance. Well, I was very proud, and we went to the Tower of London, where it was awarded. That for the photographs being presented with a medal by the Lord Lieutenant of Great Ormond. It was very nice shaking hands with Union Jack behind us. And my sons came as well. My wife, of course.
That's
Yeah.
good. That's
Of
good.
course, the photographs.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yes, and I value the medal.
Yes, I bet. And as you just said before, you've been going into schools for 20 years, so it's very, very well deserved.
That's
And
it.
I'd like to thank you for your work as well.
That's kind. In fact, it's well over 20. In fact, the Holocaust Education Trust, it was only part of the time that I did it for them. I was doing it beforehand through other organizations. So it was, well over 20 years.
Wow, it's a long, long time, yeah. Earlier this year, we were all lucky enough to celebrate the Queen's Platinum Jubilee for 70 years of her reign. What did you do to mark the occasion?
Well, unfortunately, by that time, well, I'm 93 now, so we couldn't do much. I was at home, and no.
Did you watch it on the television?
Yes, oh yes.
Yes, good.
But I don't get out of the house very much. Occasionally I do, and in fact, there is an event coming up with the HET where they've asked me to come, and well, I'm hoping I'll be able to go.
Yes, I hope so as well. Yeah,
Yes.
that'd be good. And recently, I'd like to ask you, it's a very, very sad question, but how did you feel when you heard the sad news of Her Majesty's death in September?
Well, obviously, it was not unexpected, and she was 96, but nevertheless, it was very sad. It was an end of an era. I mean, because I was in the coronation all the way through, I knew her. She was an important part of my life. When we first came to England, she was still King George the Sixth.
Yes,
And
yes.
so now we have a new king, Charles, and I respect him. I mean, he's a highly intelligent person.
Yes, and he also does a lot of work, I've seen, with Holocaust Remembrance.
Yes, exactly. Yes, yes.
I think he's the patron. He took over from Her Majesty of the Holocaust Memorial Day Trust, I think. So
That's right. Yes.
yeah, thank you, George. Thank you very much for coming onto the podcast to speak to me about this. I really appreciate that you've given up your time to be here, and thank you,
No,
Louise, as well, for
no,
joining me.
obviously, as far as I can, I want to continue doing things in this line. I don't think I'll be able to go to any more schools, but I may be able to do more talks on
Of
Zoom
course.
if it comes over okay.
That's it. Yeah, no, you've been fantastic today as well. So thank you very
Yes.
much.
That's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Now I think HET does a very valuable, important work, and good.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now I'm joined by Bradley Langer, who is a public affairs officer at the Holocaust Educational Trust, and he'll be answering some questions about the Queen from the Trust's perspective. So thank you for joining me today, Bradley.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
No worries. So from the Trust's perspective, can you describe the work of the late Queen Elizabeth II on Holocaust remembrance?
So it's first important to say that the passing of Her Majesty was deeply shocking and saddening to everyone at the Trust. As the Queen, or even before she was a Queen, the Princess, as who she was the first ever a female member of the royal family to join the military. She always held in very high regard the veterans and those involved in the Second World War, and that includes the Holocaust and Holocaust survivors and the victims. And she championed our cause. And having someone with that power, with that position, to be such a strong ally is invaluable. So in terms of how important she was, and in terms of the work that she did in terms of helping remembrance, this is a topic that for many years people didn't want to speak about. This is a topic, Holocaust victims themselves felt like, or no, Holocaust survivors, sorry, themselves felt like people didn't want to listen, that people just wanted to move on, and that there was no one there who would want to hear their testimony, what happened to them and their family. The Queen of taking such a leadership role, an active leadership role, and being a patron of Holocaust Memorial Day, of showing that this is an important issue, that if the Queen cares about this issue, then the country should also care about this issue. It meant that people who have never heard of Holocaust may have through the work of the Queen. And but that goes down not just for Queen, but it's the leadership she showed to her family. So now, for example, Prince Charles is now a patron of Holocaust Memorial Day. Both William and Kate have visited concentration camps, Stutthof, and Kate has regularly met up with survivors that she's met from that experience. So it's the leadership that was really that was shown by the Queen into showing that this is an important issue that needs to be talked about, needs to be learned about. And that includes from the remembrance side of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. Thank you. And kind of leads into my next question on a more general scale. Why is it important that a worldwide known figure does this type of work?
To coin a phrase, with great leadership, of great power comes great responsibility. Again, not many people, unfortunately, not as many people we would like, will learn in depth or at all about the Holocaust. Not many people around the world will get the chance to visit a concentration or an extermination camp. Not many people will even know the names of those camps. So for someone with the title as the Queen, someone as head of state, to then take the time to go visit, Belgen-Belsen on the 75th anniversary, to meet with survivors, to be so involved in Holocaust Memorial Day. Suddenly, though, again, like I said before, those people who have never had the chance, either through their own education, or through not working or not being involved with Holocaust Educational Trust, sorry, through the Queen. Now they might hear about it. Now they might want to learn more about it. It's a way of spreading the message into an audience much, much larger than any of us could ever dream of. And that was the power of the Queen, that was the importance of her being involved again. And why, again, we're so sorry of having such a strong ally no longer with us.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Bergen-Belsen there. And in 2015, Queen Elizabeth visited the Bergen-Belsen concentration camp in Germany alongside the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip. How significant was this visit?
That was a huge visit. You know, again, most people in this country do not know what Bergen-Belsen is, do not know what the name means. Yeah. Even though it's the most famous camp that the British themselves liberated, unfortunately, the education just isn't there throughout society yet for people to know what it was and what happened there. To have the Queen there with the late Duke of Edinburgh was an extremely significant moment, both for us in the education, Holocaust educational sector, but also mostly and most importantly for the survivors who were prisoners there. And I spoken to our CEO, Karen, who was there at the time and who spoke with the survivors who were also there, and I could not get across how important it was for them to know that, you know, the Queen was on this very important anniversary going to Bergen-Belsen, showing, visiting this concentration camp, and especially then, like, when her and Duke Medeboa laid the wreath at the memorial. This is how, again, moving that was as well.
Absolutely, and thank you. And during the Queen's reign, how many Holocaust survivors have been honoured by herself and the royal family? And what does this mean to the survivors and their families?
It's a very interesting question, and I looked into it before this podcast. We believe, you know, around the low 100, so above 100, over 100 survivors have been honoured. And again, I don't think there are words to describe how important this is. These are refugees who were thrown out of their own countries, not just thrown out of their own countries, tried to be exterminated from their home countries, not feeling welcomed until they came to to the UK. But again, through the example of the Queen, of making sure that these people feel welcomed. And those who know British society know that, you know, there's not many higher honours than, like, being able to go to a palace and have this honour placed upon yourself by a member of the royal family, by the Queen herself, by many of the times for these survivors. Again, it sent a message to show that, you know, it is important what happened. It is important for these people who spend so much of their lives now going around schools and sharing their testimony, trying to teach this is what happens when hatred is left unchecked. And why it's important to not just remember what happened, but fight against it from happening again. If it happened once, it can happen again if you let it happen. And that was what the Queen did, both from a Bergen-Belsen with the honours, with the 2005 reception she held at St. James's Palace for Holocaust survivors, where, again, if something that came out after she unfortunately passed was that she stayed behind way longer than it was scheduled allowed her to, because she wanted to make sure that she heard the individual story of every single survivor there. And again, all this together, the honours and the other events, it's her way to spread the message of this is what happened. This is where the darkness of racism and anti-Semitism can lead to. We cannot let this happen again.
Absolutely. And, you know, as you said earlier, the legacy will continue as King Charles is the patron of the Holocaust Memorial Day Trust. And I'm sure, you know, Prince William and Princess Kate will continue that as well one day. So, you know, the future is, you know, bright in that terms of continuing the legacy. And so thank you very much for answering those questions with me and spending the time answering.
Thank you for having me.
And now we will hear from Scottish Regional Ambassador for the Holocaust Educational Trust, Rachel, who paid her respects to the Queen when her coffin lay in state in Edinburgh.
I was lucky enough to see both the procession of the Queen's coffin from Holyrood Palace to St Giles Cathedral on the Monday, and then I went back again on the Tuesday to see the Queen lying in state. I went with my mum on the Monday, but unfortunately the queues were too long for her, so I went back up on the Tuesday. And the procession on the Monday was such a surreal experience. It went from being this very talkative, almost jovial atmosphere in the crowds all day because we waited quite a while, to this complete silence. You knew the procession was coming because this wave of complete silence and stillness just crept up the Royal Mile. Something I've never experienced before. And people were crying, and it was just such a stark contrast from literally a few minutes earlier. And I decided to go back on the Tuesday because I hadn't seen the Queen lying at rest in St Giles Cathedral, and I wasn't going to bother, but then I knew that I would regret not going back. Thankfully the queues weren't too long on the Tuesday, certainly not as long compared to the Monday night, and definitely not as long as they were in London. I mean, the queue in London became a proper noun. The media were capitalising it, that's how long they were. I mean, you know, it was insane. I think that in itself is testament to just how much the nation and the world loved the Queen. I got there at 11 a.m. and I was in St Giles Cathedral by 1, so it wasn't long at all. But the queue itself was just such an amazing experience. I got there at 11, as I said, and within 5 minutes I'd made friends with 3 other women who ranged from, I'd say, 45 to 60. And then after we'd been to file past the Queen's coffin, we all went for lunch together, and I'd never met these women before. It was just such a strange bond, and that wasn't a unique experience. I mean, that happened all over both Edinburgh and London. People were making really strangely close relationships, just standing in a queue. Filing past the coffin is something I'll never forget. It was such an amazing experience, with it was so emotional and such just a quiet sense of intimacy, which I'm sure everyone who managed to fail past her coffin experienced. We'll never have a monarch like her again. She reigned with such grace and such dignity, and no matter your opinion on the monarchy, I don't think you can argue against that. There wasn't many people in the world who didn't love Queen Elizabeth. And I think the collective sense of togetherness and grief that not just the United Kingdom but the world has felt over these last few weeks is testament to just how truly special she was.
Thank you, Rachel. Like Rachel, I also went to see the Queen lying in state, but in London, as well as watching her final journey into Buckingham Palace. Both were such surreal and emotional experiences, but I'm glad that I got to pay my respects to someone who dedicated her whole life to this country. Now I'd like to read you a lovely statement from Zafran Pervez from Leeds, who's also a Holocaust Educational Trust Regional Ambassador, and he said, "The late Queen was the very embodiment of what it meant to be British. Her extraordinary 7 decades of public service to our country showed her determination to her duty and reaffirmed her lifelong commitment to serve the British people for her entire life. She remained a constant in our nation, even on our worst days during the COVID pandemic, when she told us that we will be together again. Our Queen leaves behind a legacy of enduring patriotism that will live in the hearts of the British people and the people of the world for generations to come, and she'll be written into history as Elizabeth the Great." Thank you very much, Zafran. I'd just like to read to you this short but poignant quote from Queen Elizabeth II, which was, "Grief is the price we pay for love." Rest in peace, Your Majesty. Thank you for 70 years of service to the United Kingdom and the Commonwealth. And that brings us to the end of this special podcast dedicated to the late Queen Elizabeth II.
Thank you to George Volcom, BEM, Bradley, Rachel and Zafran for their contributions to this podcast. This will be the final Salvatore Show podcast, so thank you to everyone who supported me and the podcast. And I would like to say a special thank you to guests like Edwina Curry, Lord Michael Howard, Dame Esther Ranson, Janine Weber BEM, George Volcom BEM, and many more. Thank you, and God save the King.